Today's word is Mass, from the Latin missio, or dismissal, as from the 4th century the whole body of the ceremonies of the Eucharistic sacrifice received its name from the ceremony of dismissing the catechumens before the offertory of the Mass. The Mass is the sacrifice of the new law. The supreme act of cult could not be lacking to Christianity, which is the perfect religion, and therefore Christ enriched his church with the unbloody sacrifice so that it might be the perpetual commemoration and perennial application of the merits acquired in the bloody sacrifice of the cross. Indeed, the Mass is the repetition of the Last Supper, according to the Lord's command, "Do this for a commemoration of me." Now, the Last Supper was a true sacrifice, because the expressions used by Christ, "This is my body, which is given for you," Luke 22:19, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which shall be shed for many unto the remission of sins," Matthew 26:28, according to biblical style, are properly sacrificial terms. See Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, Leviticus chapter 1 verse 5 and chapter 15, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. This conclusion is efficaciously confirmed by the prophecy of Malachi chapter 1 verses 10 and 11, which predicts a sacrifice whose characteristics of holiness and universality are verified only in the Mass, and by tradition which, by its liturgical praxis and open testimonies of the fathers, assures us of the will of Christ to institute a real and proper sacrifice to endure to the end of the world. See 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 26. From these data of revelation, the Church has an excessive store of reasons to oppose, in the Council of Trent, Session 22, the Protestants who absolutely ostracize the sacrifice of the altar. Theologians questioned for a long time how the liturgy of the Mass, which is accomplished in the three great acts of offertory, consecration, and communion, realizes in itself the true essence of sacrifice. In all real sacrifices, offerer, victim, and sacrificial act are to be considered. This act includes two elements, the one material, that is oblation, the other formal, that is immolation. All are in agreement, after the declaration of the Council of Trent, in recognizing that Christ is the priest and the principal victim that is offered and immolated in the act of the double consecration of bread and wine. But the agreement is sharply split when it comes to explaining in just what the sacrificial aspect of the double consecration essentially consists. Leaving aside the opinion of Bellarmine, Suarez, and Franzelin, who affirm a physical immolation in the Mass, which seems excessive, as well as that of De La Taille and Le Pen, who are satisfied with the oblation alone, and therefore err on the short side, it would seem best to hold to the traditional teaching that represents the sacrifice of the Mass as a real oblation and immolation of a mystical and sacramental order. This teaching begins, as it were, from the original datum of the double consecration, the body alone being under the species of bread by virtue of the words, and only the blood being in the same manner under the species of wine. It follows that the body of Christ, not in itself, but only as contained under the appearances of bread, is separated from the blood as contained under the distinct appearances of wine. Thus we have a true but mystic immolation, such as is realizable now, given the impassibility of the glorious body of the Redeemer. This teaching, which is in perfect alignment with the Council of Trent, is supported by the most beautiful testimonies of tradition, from St. Gregory Nazianzen to St. Augustine, and by the authority of the great theologians, from St. Thomas to below.